You're listening to a Day1.fm show.
Pick My Brain is the podcast where founders pitch me their startup and I try to give them some useful advice so they can connect better with potential co-founders, investors, media, and of course, customers. My name's Alan Jones and I was a founder myself for about 15 years, and after that an angel investor for another 15 years, so yeah, old. Some of my ventures have been successful and some failed disastrously, but I like to think I've learned a thing or two along the way, and maybe some of that can help you. So if you'd like to learn how to tweak your pitch, subscribe to the Pick My Brain show now, wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
In the following sort of 12 to 18 months, we then scaled up to over 600,000 customers, over 250 staff members. We have people across five different countries.
Welcome to FinTech Fun. FinTech Fun is a podcast where Australian fintechs come to share their stories.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the FinTech Fun podcast series, I'm joined by Alex Harper, co-founder and co-CEO of SwiftX. Thanks for coming into the radio station-like studio, Alex.
Hey, Chris. Great to be here today, mate, and pleasure to be in our home city of Brisbane.
Absolutely, yeah. It's great. Beautiful day today. It's not raining. It's about 17 degrees. Can't fault it. Mate, SwiftX, tell us about the origins of SwiftX. Going back to the idea, the moment that captured you to say, let's go and do SwiftX full-time.
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess, SwiftX was founded in 2018 is when we came together, myself and Angus, a co-founder. We were investing in cryptocurrency in 2017, and we'd been actually arbitraging the markets between Europe and Australia. So there was anywhere from sort of 5 to 20% difference in price between Bitcoin over there and in Australia. And so we actually started, sending money offshore, buying Bitcoin, selling it in Australia, and just rinse and repeating that process. So it kind of dawned upon us all, hang on, this is a problem in itself. Like, there shouldn't be such a disparity, thank you, in the price between, a fully decentralized global currency. And it's almost that decentralized nature was what was impacting that a little bit as well. So, the liquidity in Australia.
It was a decentralized.
Yeah. So, it's not so much of a problem these days because there are platforms like SwiftX now that actually source liquidity globally and sort of bring it into Australia. But that was sort of what got us ticking. That was our initial funding capital for the platform. So we've never taken investment. So we sort of self-invested from the returns we made trading that crypto. But that was sort of mid to late 2017. We sort of sat down. We thought, look, we've been really successful in this trading. We've got enough money here to put down on deposit, do the usual 9 to 5, work until you're 40, 50, 60, pay off your mortgage, and then spend a couple of years, retired on a cruise ship. But we thought, that sounds a bit boring.
I think you're a bit young to retire.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about your wallet size. I'm talking about, people want to keep their brain ticking over, right?
Yeah. No, certainly not. So, that's sort of the traditional path that I guess is expected in society is to do that, buy a house, work, pay it off, then retire. And so we thought, no, let's take some risks. Let's solve a problem that we ourselves have been experiencing in investing in crypto. It was hard. The platforms were a little bit dated, I guess I would say. There wasn't very good mobile experiences available. Customer support was slow or non-existent. The pricing disparity was huge. And we just thought, great, there's a whole bunch of problems here. Let's solve it for ourselves as much as we'll solve it for our customers. And that's when we sort of moved in together and decided we're going to spend the next 3 months, which actually was more like 12, building SwiftX to the platform that we launched a year later.
And the idea of an exchange, there's things like regulatory hurdles, there's a whole lot of onboarding, there's a whole lot of obviously custody and how the transactions work and all these problems that you mentioned before. It took you 12 months to solve it, but was the idea of to set up the exchange, was that the idea?
Yeah, certainly. I think being bootstrapped is fundamentally so different to taking on VC funding. I think there's pros and cons of both, certainly, but the thing that we've really found and I guess it's been an enormous challenge, but also like just such a great growth opportunity is that you do have to truly be responsible for every single one of those things from day one, banking, finances, regulation, all the legalities, the technical, the customer support, marketing, sales, like you got to do it all. And so that's been a really great growth journey for us. And over the years, we've just been attracting some really awesome people to the business that have been taking over those areas and running with it.
And that first day when you went live with the SwiftX platform, was it called SwiftX then? And do you remember that day?
I do remember that day. Yep. 15th of January.
17 or 18? 18.
That was 19.
19.
Yep. So that was the 12 months later. We were a little bit later to market than anticipated, but we'd had pretty much two full straight days of no sleep and just like we're like, this is the deadline we committed to and we will, you know, come day or night, you know, we'll get this thing to market as promised. So, yeah, we launched it and look, unfortunately, well, it's good and bad, I guess, in the sense that when we did launch, it was right at the bottom of the bear market. Bitcoin was at 3K. The media headlines was crypto is dead. You know, we've been through at least three cycles of this in crypto. So I guess we weren't particularly fazed, but it's the market that we're launching into is obviously quite suppressed at the time. It was hard to get new users onto the platform. So I ended up going back to my previous business and I was sort of working part-time there. Angus was staying at home and he kept working on building the app. Like we were really confident that we've solved a problem here, that it works exactly as we had sort of envisaged it to. We were really confident that in terms of compared to the competitors in the market, we were still ahead of the curve there. And so we believed in the product and continued to build on that. And it took us about 6 months before we were able to build up enough revenue to support myself and Angus coming back into the business full time. And that's always been a huge focus for SwiftX being, again, bootstrapped, is that everything we do has been focused around our customer because our customers care about us, we care about our customers, and our customers is where revenue comes from, and that's super important.
During that 6 months, did you ever think that that your thesis was not on track and that it was time to bite the bullet, or did you have this high conviction thinking, okay, just give it a bit more time?
Yeah, I think that was probably those sort of thoughts more come into your mind when you're 9 months into grinding away building this thing and it's taking longer and you've got no personal life anymore. You're spending, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week in the same room with the same person talking about the same stuff. So, I think it's that's actually the hardest bit because you don't have customers to talk to at that point. You don't have validation of your product. Once we're at market and we can see it, that it's working, see if people are appreciating it, that's when you really get that strong drive. So I'd say more than ever, actually, that, those first 6 to 12 months is when you're, after launching, you're just so committed to making it work.
And moving from that launch into that period of revenue generating and being able to go full time, just the two of you, can you talk about the progress of the business thus far since then?
Yeah, geez, it all sort of meshes into a blur, I tell you, in the last 2 years has just been every single day just new challenges, new growth opportunities and everything's been happening. I think it's been January 2021. We sort of reached a point where I guess we'd gone through the startup stage. We'd sort of started to get a bit of traction. We're like, wow, this is great. We got 50,000 customers. We've got about, I think we had 25, 30 staff at the time. We built this really successful business. We were really content and happy with what we'd done. We'd solved a problem and everything was well, everything was rosy. And then, yeah, and then crypto really decided to go on a proper bull run. And so in the following sort of 12 to 18 months, we then scaled up to over 600,000 customers, over 250 staff members. We have people across five different countries. You know, we that became the top rated exchange on, you know, on Trustpilot and across our mobile platform. So like it just absolutely blew up. I think Elon Musk was a bit of a contributor in there as well. He had he did a tweet. It's a famous day on SwiftX on the 29th of January. He tweeted about Dogecoin.
Was that in 21?
I think it was in 21.
So 2 years after your launch in January.
Yep. Yeah, and we had I think 7,000 or 8,000 customers sign up in that single day, and we had just absolutely all hands on deck. We had CFO and our head, you know, chief people officer in there, like doing customer verifications to try and like for wherever there's some manual processing still. So like we just had literally, it didn't matter who you were, what your title was, you know, on Doge
you're
Friday.
Doge Friday, is that what you call
yeah,
it?
Doge Friday. Yep. And we actually had a company celebration plan that night. So it got cancelled and everyone just stayed back at the office and we just pumped it out. So
wow.
Yeah, that was the start of a just insane amounts of growth and huge opportunity for everyone in the team to continue growing.
Did you think that something like that may have occurred, or are you just running on adrenaline thinking, wow, we're just taking on as many customers as they want to come to our platform, at the same time we need to sharpen up our processes and hire and hire and hire and keep going with the demand?
Yeah, look, I mean, certainly dealing with rapid growth in an environment where you're so heavily focused on servicing your customers is really difficult, especially also in an early stage of a business when, you know, not everything that you're doing is automated. Obviously, automation is the key, but also you need to get to market. So if you spend your entire time building and tweaking and polishing and never actually delivering a product, then, you know, it's kind of pointless. So, yep. Look, it was definitely really challenging to scale the teams in terms of bringing new people in, educating them on the platform and you know, for everyone from, you know, customer support people, upholding that level of standards. But then also engineers, you know, because it takes 3 months to get an engineer up to spec in terms of how everything works and really delivering the full value that they can bring. And during that time, it's also detracting from the other team. So it's just like, it's so hard when you're doubling the size of your teams, like every 3 or 4 months, from a recruiting standard and upskilling and learning and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Did you and Angus feel like you had to let go at some point in time and just let other people do things where you may have been in control previously, but then as the team grew, you're like, okay, you can just, yep, that's a decision to be made. Yep, you can do that and go and like just sort of take a bit of a step and back your people?
Yeah, look. 100%. I mean, like I said, if you don't do that as a bootstrapped company, you know, that you're going to, I mean, actually, you know what, if you don't do that, regardless of whether you're bootstrapped or VC funded, I think you're setting yourself up for failure. You will become the bottleneck of your own company. But I think it's particularly important to have that mindset as you are bootstrapping, because you are used to just doing everything and being responsible for everything. And even to this day, when, you know, we have over 300 employees across Superhero and SwiftX, there's just like this sort of founder energy that everyone still sort of comes to you to, oh, can you just approve this?
You get CC'd in a little bit.
Yeah, well, what do you think about that? And so it's just been like a really big focus of mine to, hire amazing people into the business, which we have done from day one. You know, I'm super, super proud of what the team have achieved. Not just our leadership team, but everyone that works alongside them. But also, yeah, just it's I've lost my train.
Trusting someone to make a decision, yes, when it comes to a point in time when you think I can't manage everything anymore. There has to be my staff have to take control.
Yeah. So I guess it's having the strong leaders, but then also making sure that they know and feel empowered and safe and secure to make the decisions. And look, I think it's a really tough balance between, you know, when you're a founder or a founder-led company, you still, you know, if you completely withdraw yourself from that, then, you know, you lose that founder, you know, what that thing that makes it special in terms of being a founder-led
business.
The
nuance, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so you have to really balance between, hey, guys, you know, get out there, go make your decisions and whatnot. But also, you know, you do have a lot of gut sense that you still need to make sure is heard and is incorporated into the process. So, yeah, it's a really challenging one. And certainly I would say, you know, when I get asked, you know, what has been the most challenging thing for you in this journey, it's certainly been developing my leadership. I mean, I've never led before SwiftX, I haven't led a company of more than 10 employees before. So, you know, it's a huge journey and just a constant mindset change as you keep scaling up, it just keeps changing.
And speaking of that scaling and that journey, you mentioned Superhero before. Let's touch on that. There was a big transaction that happened 2 months ago maybe in June, where it was announced that you and Superhero were merging the equity trading platform that had been developed over the last couple of years plus the crypto trading platform that developed over the last couple of years, putting them together. Let's talk about that, the reasons and how it's all going.
Yeah, look, this has been a very, very exciting announcement that you're right, we did make, I think it was, around June sometime. We were chatting to the Superhero guys, even before chatting to them, we've been following their journey and I think vice versa. You know, we're obviously both fintechs and building incredible products and great teams. So we bumped into them at Intersect previously and you know, have good relationship there and just been really impressed, I guess, with what they've been building. You know, really, really being a leader in the equities and superannuation space. And obviously they announced that they were sort of interested in listing crypto. And we've always had this sort of vision for SwiftX to go beyond just crypto and to sort of build an all-in-one financial services app, I guess, everything from...
People call it the super app. Are you a buyer of the super app or not?
It is a bit of a buzzword it's a hot topic around the office. But, we're calling it an all-inclusive financial services app for now. It's a little bit more of a mouthful, that's for sure. But, I think super app can mean a lot of things. But, we were chatting to them and we both seem to have very aligned missions and visions in terms of what we want to do for helping people create the, you know, financial freedom and education and having platform of choice and being competitive and disruptive, I guess, to the traditional players. So we just had a lot in common and, we just sort of said, ultimately, it sounds like we're building the same thing and we're about in a similar point in our journey.
So the paths are kind of coming together. It's like, well, you can go that way, or we can go that way together.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm putting my hands around.
Waving them around
for the listeners out there.
So it just made a lot of sense that, you know, we would be stronger together. We've got great teams, obviously on the Superhero side as well. They've got incredible experience in the regulatory landscape, which is something that SwiftX prides itself as being a voice and a thought leader in the space of regulation of crypto. And it just makes sense to bring our teams and our experiences together and be aligned on servicing our customers. That's what we're focused on.
There's been a lot of talk about whether the names will change or whether you're going to merge the brands, and there was a bit of chat around the place. Have you got any thoughts on that, or can you reveal anything yet?
At this stage, I cannot reveal anything. It's certainly not a decision we wanted to rush. We need to really understand what's the most valuable thing, you know, parts of each brand and each company and each app, and that's the process we're going through right now. And it's enormous. You know, we have... we have engaged external support, advisors, to really help us structure the integration. And, you know, we've created work streams across all the different areas of the business, from people and culture, marketing, customer support, brand, etc. So we're really, I guess, in that respect, empowering each of the individual departments across our businesses to make the decisions that are right for them. And that's all sort of coming together as part of an integration strategy. So, yeah, it's been a really, really, really exciting time.
And putting your hat on, if we do this conversation in 12 months' time, I think that was talked about that the combined entity will have circa 800,000 customers and you've got, what you mentioned, something like 300-odd staff. I mean, 12 months' time, we do this again, we sit here. How's the business going? Where do you want the business to be?
Yeah, geez. I love these questions because... if you'd asked me the same question 12 months ago, it'd be absolutely nothing like what it is right now. That's for sure. So, in terms of continuing to build out our integrated experience, we definitely would love to have the integrated brand and application in market servicing our customers. We'll obviously be continuing to work closely with the regulators to help lead the landscape, and this is a first of its kind in Australia, I guess. So that's really exciting for us, and we are working closely with the regulators to, you know, share our experience and you know help shape and give input on the future of what that looks like. So I think we certainly will continue to do that, and hopefully we'll see some good progress within the next 12 months on that front. And I think really the next step for me that makes a lot of sense for the inclusive financial app is to look at how we can work with and partner with banks. Traditionally, cryptos and well, actually still is a bit of a hot topic with banks. And I would love to establish strong relationships with the banks in Australia over the next 12 months and look to see how we can actually integrate that offering so that, you know, you can have your your cash and your savings accounts and your crypto and your equities and your superannuation, all that just sitting there in one place, easy to move. So that's the vision.
Excellent. One final question. You're a startup founder, co-founder, and you've seen enormous growth over the last couple of years, probably unprecedented growth in regards to some fintechs in Australia looking back on it all. What's one piece of advice you can give to someone that's, you know, back in 2018, you're sitting down working out what you can to solve a problem? They're in that stage now. What piece of advice can you give them?
Yeah, look, I think the and it's even something that we struggle with right now as we've grown to scale and I guess shifted autonomy to the edges across our workforce is really ensuring that you do fully understand the problem that you're solving, and every single day and every single decision, make sure you ask why. Don't just make a decision because it feels good or whatever. Like, and don't just walk past something and just sort of
let it be.
Yeah. Like just question everything. Not in a way whereby you're being controlling or making no progress because all you're doing is asking questions. But always seek to understand the why of the problem or the thing or the decision that you're making. I think is the most important. Is probably one of the most important traits, and something that I'm constantly working with the team to make sure that they understand why they're building it, what is their purpose, what is their mission, and really getting behind that.
And just on that, have you got a really defined mission or purpose, and has that mission or purpose changed as the business has evolved?
Yeah, look, it certainly has, and even right now it's going through another evolution as we bring Superhero and SwiftX together. It makes sense again to, okay, let's reflect on where that is now. Obviously, between the two businesses, there was already a lot of alignment there. So, we'll look to review that and make it more relevant as the business continues to evolve. I think if you set something way too far off in the future, it feels nearly impossible to achieve. So I think don't be afraid to review and update these things as you continue to grow, but make sure that you can actually see the light at the end of the tunnel. You're not just setting your sights on something completely impossible.
Alex, thanks so much for the chat today. We'll leave it there. I really appreciate you telling the story of SwiftX from minus day one, minus 6 months to where it is now, and that explosive growth. I really congratulate you on what you and your team have achieved, and really look forward to catching up.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. It's great to be on the show in the studio.
For more information on Sub11, jump onto our LinkedIn or email me, chris@sub11.com.au. Thanks for listening.
Listen to the Unfunded podcast brought to you by the Day One Network and hosted by me, tech writer Joan Westenberg. We're sharing the no-holds-barred untold stories from entrepreneurs who have decided to build a business on their terms. I'll be interviewing successful founders and operators on the grit and ingenuity it takes to build and scale independent startups without the support of traditional venture capital funding. Subscribe to the Unfunded podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts.